Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. This is going to be a very fast-paced hour, second hour tonight of the live broadcast of Saturday, March 23rd, the Political Cesspool radio program. Here in the studio, James Edwards and Keith Alexander standing on guard and on the watchtower. We're joined this hour via phone by our co-host Winston Smith. We're going to have a roundtable because we certainly have the man of the hour, celebrity, Scott Terry, who last week after his attendance at the CPAC conference captured all the headlines, became an overnight media sensation. We're going to find out why and then explore it that much further. But first, let me introduce our guest. Scott is a Southern gentleman and blogger with a wide range of interests. He is working toward a degree in philosophy and English. He has currently returned to his home state of North Carolina after a tedious media career. Scott joined us previously at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference, where he sat in during that third and final hour of that very fun live show with me, you, Eddie, and of course, Bill Rowland. Scott, great to have you tonight. Man, what a week, huh?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And I appreciate you having me on here.
Well, it's our pleasure. Let me tell you how it's going to work, my friend. We got a full deck tonight, a full complement of hosting staff. So I'm essentially going to serve as the MC. I'm going to moderate this thing, take us in and out of breaks, and leave the questioning primarily to Winston, who has prepared and gotten this interview scheduled, and Keith, who, after reading the story, wanted to be part of it as well. And we're thankful for his participation and input. But, Scott, big week. We're talking about all of the media outlets that covered what you did at CPAC, and it really was everywhere, folks. I saw Chris Matthews and some of the other MSNBC talking heads covering it, Huffington Post, Glenn Beck. I mean, listen, we only have an hour, and it would take more time than that to talk about who all talked about this story. Well, they were all talking about Scott. We're going to be talking with him. I'm going to let Winston ask the first question, then we're going to go to Keith, and then back and forth between the two. But first, Scott, just kind of give us a brief, maybe 60-second synopsis of what took place, and we'll build on it from there. What happened?
Well, what took place is a white man that wasn't afraid to stand up for his people actually went in among the Republicans and stated his feelings. And as a result, you see national media attention and outrage from all kinds of different directions. I mean, I've gotten hate mail from Britain. I've gotten death threats from La Raza, from the Black Panthers, from pretty much, you know, all areas of the globe. And it's kind of humbling for a farm boy like me, you know, a little country guy from North Carolina, to get all this media attention. But I'm glad I did it, and I wouldn't do it any other way.
Well, the question you asked at that panel was the Republican Party reaching out to voters at the expense of young white Southern males? That was what you said, nothing more, nothing less. And you've been called a white supremacist and worst for asking the question. Winston, first question to you, then we're going to start kicking it back and forth between you and Keith.
Well, thank you, James, but you've already asked a couple of questions I was going to ask. You must be psychotic, or psychic, I should say.
Both.
It's always my pleasure to be on the air with the political cesspool's intellectual great white shark, Keith Alexander. Hi, Keith.
Hello, Winston. It's great to hear your voice again, baby.
Well, thank you, brother. And it's great to be on with my fellow tennist, Scott Terry. Scott, you kind of dominated the news there for a while, did you not?
I prefer to believe it was just all the left-wing ladies, you know, clicking to look on my picture. That's what helps me sleep at night. but you know, yeah, it is a very humiliating, but a humbling thing to be the center of such national attention. And I'll tell you, my walk with God wasn't where it should be. I am a Christian, and that is one way to bring you to your knees in humility before God, because when you face this kind of thing, I can't speak for other people, but that's where I ran to. And so I'm glad it happened, because it gives me a chance to tell people about my convictions and not to yield in the face of all this negative national pressure. That's a rare thing that I don't intend to.
Uh-huh. you didn't say a whole lot at the conference. You basically asked a question, and then when the moderator said that one way to trump the race card is for Republicans to start calling themselves Frederick Douglass Republicans, and he made the point that Frederick Douglass wrote a letter to his former master, forgiving him for his time in slavery, and you said forgive him for what? For giving him shelter and food, and I think that drew the most violent reaction. Would you agree with that?
Yes, that is the statement that everyone's choosing to focus on. But I'd like to note that we said a whole lot more than what's actually been covered in that video. And is immediately after the conference or the session was over, all these reporters just kind of gathered around my friend Matthew Heimbach and I, kind of stuck microphones in our faces, and we had this huge debate for 30 minutes at least, and we acquitted ourselves very well, I think. And I specifically told these Think Progress people that I was not advocating for slavery over and over. And what do they print? What do they print? They print that, you know, Scott Terry defends slavery. So it's not, there's not much you can do about that, I guess. I'll keep my eyes open if I see those guys again, I guess, and we can talk about it. I'll ask them why they did that.
Well, Scott, this is Keith Alexander. I remember you vividly from the Council of Conservative Citizens conference that we had. And I can't think of a better spokesman than you for our position. But, you know, in the last hour, the last topic that we covered was basically this. I said, I'm not particularly interested in the sequester or in the fiscal cliff or in Obama's trip to Israel or any of the things that mainstream media conservatives think you and I should be interested in. I think that the most important thing that should be riveting everybody's attention is what will America be like when we transform from being a white majority nation to a non-white majority nation, and who is minding the store, who is looking out for the interests of white people, and basically that's what you asked the people at CPAC. The Republican Party's most loyal cadre of voters, the people that actually go out and pull a lever for them in every election, are red state white Gentiles. And nobody, and when you ask the simple question about who is representing us and will we have a place at the table, I mean, you have, committed sacrilege or heresy of the highest order. Yeah, that's just a question not to be asked, apparently.
That's correct. It's a very taboo thing, and I asked it in as civil a way as I could and as kind way as I could, and then when I finished asking my question, I sat back down. And I think that's the way we have to do, is just ask our questions civilly. And I mean, I'm very passionate about this issue, and I'm mad as all heck about what's being done to my people and my demographic, but at the same time, we can't let
Scott, that... Scott, we're coming up on a break right now. We're going to come right back to where Scott is after these words from our sponsors.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want
You see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Quick reminder, folks, that over at CFCC.org, we're having a live virtual fan party, one night only, in honor of Scott Terry's appearance this evening. CFCC.org, there's a group of people there. The chat just got started midway through the first hour, so it's only been online for a few minutes, and a nice little crowd over there. Be part of it. Join us and talk about the show as you listen, if you're not listening in your car this evening, that is. CFCC.org. Well, quick recap of what we've learned so far. Scott Terry is our guest, and he attended the CPAC conference last week. He went into one of the breakout sessions and listened to a gentleman talk about apparently everybody the Republican Party needs to reach out to in order to win and do well, how to avoid being called a racist, that, and the other. Scott gets up, asks a very polite question. Do white Southern males, are you reaching out to these other people at the expense of white Southern males? The speaker of the session said that we need to be Frederick Douglass Republicans, and even Douglass forgave his slave master, to which Scott retorted, for what? Giving him food and shelter. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek remark. As Scott has mentioned, he is not defending the practice of slavery, but even Pat Buchanan, who has made a handful of appearances on this show, says it is a complicated issue, and we've all heard the grievances about it, but what about the gratitude? Because the fact of the matter remains that the blacks here in this country were introduced to Christian salvation, introduced to a first-world standard of living, and I don't think there are any descendants of slaves today that would like to have traded places with their... with their extended family in sub-Saharan Africa. Is that a defense of the practice? Absolutely not. It was a horrible practice. It was wrong. And it was in both of our, the white and the blacks, it was in both of our worst interests that took place. But nevertheless, coming full circle, that is why Scott is making so much news, national news. I think, story for story, Scott came out with more headlines than Newt Gingrich, Sarah Palin, Rick Santorum, Rand Paul, and a lot of the others that spoke at that conference, because all of the Republican heavyweights were there. All right, Winston, that being said, now that everyone knows who we have, and if Scott and Winston have the time, I'd like to extend this interview beyond this segment. But Winston, next question over to you before we bounce it back to Keith. Winston, what do you got?
Oh, thanks, James. Just to take a moment to build upon what you just talked about, James, one of my favorite writers, and Scott, you'll know this person, Zora Neale Hurston. She was a black woman. She was a very good writer, very good thinker, and a good essayist. And she herself wrote that slavery was the price her people paid for civilization. And again, I'm not defending slavery, but I think we've been misled about it. And you know, it's like trying to do research on the Holocaust, the so-called Holocaust. That information is tightly guarded and dispensed very very frugally. Anyhow, Scott, my question for you is this: the reaction to your questions and your appearance there at the CPAC, I think the reaction betrays an underlying principle that's guiding the discussion of race relations in this country today, and that guiding principle is that white people are at best incompetent to discuss the issue, and at worst should be completely shut out of the conversation, and we have no right whatsoever to discuss race. Is that your finding?
Well, absolutely, and I have firsthand proof of that from at CPAC. That was the attitude that white Republican conservative males like myself are very much taken for granted. There's a rebranding process going on in the Republican Party right now. They're trying to go from the old school image of conservatives as rich white men who country club Republicans. They're moving from that to the idea that we're now these rainbow Republicans marching lockstep with Frederick Douglass and Martin Luther King Jr. and all these other civil rights leaders and the Unitarians of the North. I think in terms of the war of Northern aggression. So I always think about this Northern Yankee propaganda that we're being asked to swallow. And I think that's what we're being asked to do, is we're being asked to give up our cultures, give up our history, give up the things that we love about life, and repudiate all of that, repudiate the South, and accept this new rainbow Republican coalition. And that's what I was so mad about. And so I had to stand up and ask my question.
Yeah, this is Keith, Scott. I'd like you to amplify that a little bit about this red state, blue state of tug of war that seems to be going on. It seems that basically red states, which I think is analogous to the old Confederacy, and blue states, which would be the New England abolitionists, this is the modern manifestation of the same fissure that existed in America probably since 1824 and led to the Civil War. Basically, they don't think that red state Americans, or the ancestors of Confederates in particular, and white people generally, have any right to claim any sense of racial solidarity, and they certainly don't want us explicitly lobbying for what we perceive to be our racial best interests in any public forum, and particularly in a political party like the Republican Party. We're supposed to defer, move to the background, spend our money to support their candidates, vote for their candidates, and then get out of the picture while our betters decide who should actually be represented in the councils of government.
You're absolutely right. They're trying to push on the civic nationalism. We are all Americans in the generic. We don't have individual class interests as white people, for instance, or as black people. And they just want us to be Americans. And that, I think, does a serious disservice to all of our communities. Why not respect the existence of these communities and operate within the existence of these communities instead of trying to deny it? I think that's going to ultimately kill the Republican Party. So if they really want to reach out to minorities, and if they really want to reach out to whites, then they need to be do as Steve Saylor over at the VDARE has suggested, and start actively trying to reach these demographics by being racially self-conscious. And I think that would be one of the best things that could happen in this country politically.
Well, let me say this. I think that what needs to be understood is that they're never going to get more than a teacup full of black or Hispanic voters or other minorities, because those minorities are instinctively liberal. Republicans, if they're true to their principles, want less government. This is the last thing that blacks, Hispanics, and Asians want. They think that a government that does little is the very definition of an ineffective government. They're natural-born liberals, and furthermore, it doesn't matter how liberal the Republican Party tries to get, they're always going to be brand X liberalism. Why accept brand X when you can get the real McCoy, which is the Democrat Party? It was Howard Dean, who was the head of the Democratic Party, National Party, in the run-up to the 2008 election, who said that the Republican Party was the white party. Rather than trying to run from that, they need to embrace it if they want to have a future. We're still the largest demographic category in the electorate, but they seem to miss that important point.
Amen. I read something in a really awesome book written by a man named Mr. James Edwards called Racism Smashism, and he makes the comparison that asking blacks to vote for Republican, it would be like asking senior citizens to vote to give up Social Security. It's just not going to happen because it's their demographic that's benefiting from the welfare state and the big state. They're not going to give that up. So,
The people that are really in charge of the Republican Party are not so stupid and brain dead that they don't realize that. They must realize that they're never going to get any appreciable support from minorities, and as a result, what are they trying to accomplish by shutting their natural constituency off from having any voice in the councils of the party? We got to take a break. If you'll get back to us on that, Scott, after this break, we'd appreciate it. Now for a few words from our sponsor.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. James Edwards here, Keith Alexander in studio, Winston Smith via phone, as is our guest Scott Terry. Again, folks, to get an idea of how big this story was a few days ago, Google Scott Terry CPAC, and you'll see that basically you can't even go, and this isn't just the Republican Party, Keith. This was supposedly the conservative element, the core of the conservative element of the Republican Party, and you can't even go in there and ask if white Southern males still have a place at the table in that organization without getting shouted down as an apologist for slavery or white supremacists, so on and so forth, the usual code words. Winston, we're keeping Scott on for some extended play here. I know we took a little extra time that segment, so by all means, ask a question or two of our featured guest, a man who you brought to the cesspool this evening.
Thank you, James. I wish I had known that we were going to have a full hour. We would have asked Matthew Hombach on as well, but here we are. Scott, what did you hope to accomplish at CPAC, and do you think you accomplished it?
You know, people have been asking me that question. I'll tell you, God put me in that room, and I spoke my conscience, and whatever happens, happens. I didn't have a plan. All I know is I have convictions, and I'm not going to be quiet about them. And so whatever comes of it, comes of it. And I hope that what they mean for evil is going to be used for good, ultimately, in the end. I will say that there has been a lot of good that has come from this. People who would not be open to discussing these sorts of issues all of a sudden have brought them out of the dark closet, and now they're willing to discuss them with me. We'll see what happens. And besides that, besides not being able to ever get a job again in my life, probably at this point, who knows what good will come out of it. I'm optimistic. I really am.
Well, Scott, let me say this. It should adults with working brains should be at a level where they can have a candid discussion about this sort of issue without resorting to the name-calling that you were subjected to, my friend, which was quite unfair because I know you and I know you're not the things that they were saying, just as we're not the things that they always say about us. But you should be able to ask, is it truly in the Republican Party's best interest to reach out for to reach out to the people that have never and most likely will never vote for the GOP at the expense of the people who have always voted GOP? Why take advantage and hang out to dry your base for the likes of which you'll probably never get? And that was basically the question you were asking, and you see the venom and vitriol that was hurled your way. Winston, another question from you, and then we're going to toss it back over to Keith. Scott is the pinball.
All right. Scott, you and Matthew Hombach are both members of the White Student Union at Towson University. Is that right?
I'm more of an associate member at this point, but yes, sir.
Well, how is the White Student Union getting along there? I know every time a college or university tries to start a White Student Union, it's met with the same sort of reaction as you received from your appearance at CPAC. Instantly the attack dogs come out with claims of white supremacism and the Klan. How has the White Student Union at Towson University gotten along?
Well, there's an attempt at the university. This is my impression anyway. There's an attempt at a pseudo intellectual freedom kind of thing. And to their credit, to the administrators' credit at Towson, they really have. It's my impression they've kind of backed off from that now, and Hombach is pretty much doing whatever he can over there and whatever he wants. But now, in the wake of all this controversy, there are new calls to completely disband the White Student Union, so I'm not sure how that's going to go in the future.
Okay.
Simply because you asked a question about the Republican Party failing to reach out to young white males?
Imagine the audacity of that question.
Well, this is Keith again, Winston and Scott. Let me tell you, I think all of this, sitting back and listening to it, proves the truth of Barry Goldwater's observation back in 1964 when he said, there is no such thing as a conservative opportunist because conservatives don't have any political opportunities in America. That was true apparently in 1964, and it's even more true today. You come to the CPAC, Conservative Political Action Committee, national meeting and express a conservative viewpoint on the issue of race, and you are immediately cast into the outer darkness. What do you think this forebodes for the future of the Republican Party in America? And also, how is that going to impact white people as we move into this new era starting in 2041 when whites are a minority in America, when we're a majority and we can't even get a seat at the table? What's going to happen to us in the future?
Well, Mr. Keith, it looks very bleak right now. I know it looks very bleak, but I believe in a God that performs miracles, and I believe in a God that uses the weak things of this world to shame the strong. So I don't care if it's only me, and if everybody else I know has betrayed the cause, and if everybody else I know has ran away, and if it's only me, well, one Christian plus God equals an undefeatable army. And who knows what he's going to do, Mr. Keith? I don't know, but I do believe there's going to be great things in the future, in this country's future, especially with shows like The Political Cesspool and with legends like you guys. I can't believe I'm on the radio with legends right now.
Thank you so much, and that was a great answer, even before the last few congratulatory words to us. Winston, give us your take on all of this.
Well, I will allude back to what the question I asked Scott about the underlying principle under the discussion of race in this country being guided by the notion that white people simply have no place at the table to discuss it. We're either incompetent or too sullied or too unworthy to discuss race. We saw that happen last week when the mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter, went off his rails because the Philadelphia Magazine published a story called Being White in Philly. And the reporter simply went to some white people and asked them their thoughts on race relations in Philadelphia. Well, Michael Nutter, the mayor of Philadelphia, the black mayor of Philadelphia,
lived up to his name.
Told the Philadelphia Magazine that if they try to discuss race, he will shut them up.
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me of a comment made by the black nationally syndicated columnist William Raspberry about 20 years ago, and he said that white people can never be allowed to organize and lobby for their own best interests as a race. That's totally off the table. He never bothered to explain why, but he made that comment. And apparently that comment is the unspoken, unacknowledged gospel of the mainstream media and our governing elite. Because all you had to do to just create this intense media firestorm was suggest that people like you and me, Scott, Winston, James, that we would like to have a place at the table just like black people, just like Hispanic people, just like American Indians, just like the log cabin Republicans, the homosexuals. But we apparently don't merit having a place at the table where all these other groups, like, for example, homosexuals that are maybe half of 1% of the American population, they definitely are entitled to a place at the table. But we, who make up over 50% of the electorate, are not.
Scott, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, as a country boy from Carolina, I like eating on the front porch, so let them have the table.
Well, I tell you what, if they don't want our votes, people, we need to find a party that wants us. If they don't want us, if they don't want our viewpoint, if they don't want to represent us, you know, do you think the black people, for example, would tolerate a political leader, a black political leader, that ran from them and did not want to represent their interests? that guy would be history at the very next election. We need to find, you know, quite frankly, Scott, I'd like to see you press this matter. And if we don't get a satisfactory response, then that should be the fire bell in the night, as Thomas Jefferson said to all of us, that we need to have a white people's party in America. What do you think about that, guys? Give me comments.
Well, I know K. Carl Smith, the black gentleman leading the session, and I had an extensive radio interview Thursday, and it ended up we agree on a whole lot, but I think he's getting called an Uncle Tom by the black community quite a bit, a sellout, because he doesn't want to yield all these principles.
Well, we're having we're getting all that wonderful music talents. We're coming up to a break. Please hang on, Winston and Scott, for the next segment. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, we intended to have him on for 30 minutes, but thankfully we're extending this for a full hour. I do want to remind you, though, at the top of the third hour and for the entirety of the third hour, we're continuing our month-long tribute to the late, great Bill Rowland. We're going to revisit the last hour of the last show Bill ever co-hosted with us here. It was October 20th, of last year, and so you will hear once again as we continue our tribute. We heard some of the very first interviews of the last couple of weeks that Bill did. You'll hear the very last one, and little did we know at the time it would be the last. But that's coming up in the third hour. Then we'll be back live with you next week for a special Easter show. So stay tuned for that. But getting back to the sole focus of this hour, Scott Terry's appearance and subsequent media firestorm that he ignited by going to CPAC and asking simply if the Republican Party was also interested in white voters, basically. And Scott, you know, you have been made, the media has made an example of you, my friend, as they have made of us and anyone else who dares to speak out and point out that the emperor has no clothes. The usual suspects like Chris Matthews calling you a white supremacist, and then even Glenn Beck saying that you were a troll or a liberal plant. Well, certainly you were neither. And could you imagine the reaction, though, from the same media outlets if you had said, you know, I'm a homosexual, and I, of course I know you're not, you're anything but if you had just said, for argument's sake, hypothetically, I'm a homosexual, and I want to know what the Republican Party is going to do for me. Well, as Keith just mentioned, they would have been falling all over themselves to tell you how much you were valued and how much you have a place in the Republican Party as a member of a group that makes up perhaps a percent of the American population. But to say you are a white Southern male, pretty much the only people who actually vote Republican. You look at the states that go for Republicans, it's the Southern states, almost without exception, and a few Midwestern and Western states. But you get the point. You get the double standard there and the compare and contrast. Let me ask you this, though, before we toss it back to Winston and Keith for a couple of final questions. The media has been trying to brand you. Who are you? If you had to sum it up in a minute or less, you want the world to know who you are and what you stand for. This is what I like to do with people because I know how it is having lived through it for all the years we've been hosting the show. The media never gets it right. Let's hear it straight from the subject's mouth. Scott Terry, tell us who you are and what you stand for.
Well, I'm just a blue-collar, working-class, southern white guy, and I'm also, more importantly, a Christian. And I found that the best thing, the best title to apply to me that covers all of those things would be the word Kenism. I'm a Kenist, and we're just biblical guys. Yeah, we're just biblical guys that you know, we love our people, we love our ancestors, and we don't hate anybody. We love our people, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm proud of it.
Nothing's wrong with it if you're anything other than a white Southern male. I mean, it's not wrong if you're a homosexual or a black or a Hispanic or a black homosexual, as Keith said. Yeah, no, it's fine to love your people as long as you're white. Yeah, if you're a woman calling yourself a slut, that's fine. But thank you, Scott. It sounds to me, and I know who you are, and that was almost a rhetorical question, but it sounds to me you should be exactly the kind of guy that the Republican Party is seeking to bolster its ranks with instead of the only guy. But anyway, I didn't hear the word racist or white supremacist or Klansman or slavery advocate to describe yourself. And so that would certainly compare and contrast to what the media is saying. But Winston, another question from you, and then we'll get it to Keith and we'll start wrapping this thing up.
Very well. Scott, you've been called in the media a heckler, a white supremacist, a racial separatist, a segregationist. You've even become an internet meme. Chris Matthews, MSNBC's cerebral flatline, asked a question about you. This guy didn't see Django, obviously, you know, the movie about the black guy that goes around killing white people with impunity. Now, what has surprised you most about the reaction to your question at CPAC?
You know, honestly, I wish I could say that I was surprised by any of this, but I'm not. I am surprised that I am the one that actually ended up being the center of this attention, but I think if anybody said it, it would have been the exact same thing. Now, one of the things I am most surprised about is the positive feedback I've been getting, and I really, really appreciate everybody's prayers and encouragement, and that has really humbled me, and I thank God for all my friends who have come out to support me.
Scott, this is Keith. Let me say this. I was really touched with your self-description, and particularly your comment about ancestry. I've been asked to give presentations at various and sundry venues in the run-up to Confederate History Month, which will be April, by the way. That's our equivalent of Black History Month, I guess. And what I've been asked to talk about was the real causes of the Civil War. And I think the primary thread that I'm trying to get across is that all modern histories and modern movies and TV shows about the Civil War either consciously or unconsciously have the same agenda, which is to convince modern audiences that their ancestors thought like modern liberals. That's what the Steven Spielberg Lincoln movie, the Lincoln Vampire Hunter, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter movie, Django, things like this. And the truth of the matter is, our ancestors, there were none of our ancestors, virtually, who thought like a modern liberal on issues of one, race, and two, homosexuality. Abolitionists in the antebellum period were a very small minority of people, and most of those people were anti-slavery because they were anti-black. Furthermore, if any of antebellum American thought like a modern liberal on homosexuality, he would have been considered a raving lunatic and put under lock and key. So if you have a respect for your ancestors and you start to think, what would they think about what is going on in the Republican Party today, what do you think they would say?
Well, they would be beside themselves, and you know, their jaws would drop, and it would be we would see that exact same kind of treatment that I've been getting.
Yeah, I think that Abraham Lincoln would side with you before he sided with your detractors at CPAC and with modern liberals. Modern liberalism would have been considered insanity in the old days.
I don't think he'd want to get close enough to me because I'd probably physically harm the man, but you're probably right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's also incredible that if people really knew, if they were taught history honestly, Winston and Scott, and really wanted to put themselves into the shoes of their ancestors on either side, nobody would have endorsed the claptrap that is passing as cogent and informed political commentary today. They would think everybody had gone mad and had escaped from Bedlam.
Well, Scott, let me say this. I am, again, proud of you, my friend, for going in there and asking a heartfelt question. You weren't going in there to be a provocateur. You weren't going in there to cause a stink, even though a stink was caused by you asking a very legitimate question. But you see the reactionary treatment you've received from the media for basically just asking, again, at the risk of sounding repetitious, do white people have a place in the party? And, you know, just by asking something as politely as you presented it, the seventh level of hell has been raised up against you. And this is why they do that. They, you know, they say, well, people are watching this and they're saying, well, this guy just went in there and asked a very polite, well-reasoned question. And look at what he's being called. Look what he's being subjected to. Well, if that's the treatment you're going to get for being politically active, then I'm just going to stay on the sidelines. They try to hit people like us as hard as they can with everything they've got to discourage other people from being active and from asking these questions and for thinking these things. And unfortunately, by and large, it is effective, but I'm glad it wasn't effective with you. And we got just another minute, Scott. A final word from you on this whole experience.
Well, I just want to say that being a blue-collar American and having a good blue-collar job, I don't want to say what my trade is because it'll be used against me, but having a good trade is kind of like driving a clunker car around an old a city. Like, I can bang into whoever I want and get dents, and I don't care, you know, so no matter what they say to me, I'll always have a livelihood and a way to support a family, so that gives me a freedom, and I think other people can learn from that.
Well, America used to be made up of rugged, indomitable, individualistic men. Not so much anymore, but there's still a few of them, and they're hosting this show. Scott, listen, thank you so much for coming on tonight for a full hour, and thank you for standing up and asking questions that need to be asked. You know, that's all you did. All you did was ask a question. You didn't go there and grandstand and take over and hijack the podium. You told the truth. You asked a question. Truth to power. Well, thanks again. And folks, don't forget, coming up in the third hour, we're going to hear the last hour of Bill Rowland's career here on the Political Cesspool, and I hope you'll enjoy it as much as we enjoy presenting it to you in an encore version, and we'll be back with you next week live in the studio. But until then, I want to thank Keith Alexander Winston Smith, our guest Scott Terry, and the production crew out in Utah for making this yet another fantastic live installment. Scott, thank you again.
Elvin Beast.
All right, everybody. Well, Keith, another one in the books. And as I mentioned before, Easter, a special Easter show next week. And then we'll head into April with Confederate History Month. So big shows forthcoming here on TPC. God bless you, everybody. Stay tuned for the Bill Rowland Encore, and we will talk to you then. Good night.
They call the rising sun.